Good morning, church. What a pleasure it is to be here this morning, just worshiping with God and the saints. So before I get started and give this message, I'm just going to pray and ask that, the Lord be with me and be with us all as he does the work that he needs to do in our hearts this morning. Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for this wonderful moment, Lord. This moment, Lord, we gather together once a week as, Lord, your flock, your sheep, coming together, Lord, in your fold here at Kings Park Community Church to worship your holy name. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time, for this moment. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you've put on my heart, Father. And I pray right now and just ask, Lord God, prepare the hearts, Lord, of, Lord, the people in front of me, the ones who you love and you know them all by name, Father. Lord, and I just ask, Lord God, you anoint your words in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Wow. What a psalm that is. And it is, to many, the most familiar and well-known passages in Scripture. The words of Psalm 23 we've just heard read by Hudson. The precious truths revealed about our blessed Heavenly Father as our shepherd display his pastoral loving heart towards us, his flock, almost clearly as any passage in Scripture. It was said by the great Charles Spurgeon that Psalm 23 is the pearl of Psalms. The poetic imagery the author King David was describing, our beloved Heavenly Father as my shepherd, speaks right to our Father's heart for us who are a part of his flock. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Could there be any more soul-assuring, peace-giving, life-breathing words than these? It is no wonder that this most beloved psalm is and has been so precious and soul-nourishing to so many saints, past and present. This beautiful image expressed by David in this divinely inspired poem of our Heavenly Father as his all-sufficient, all-satisfying, soul-restoring guide, shepherd guide for life. For one to live in light of such a precious promise can only lead him to one position, and that is one of rest in the knowledge that he is always in the presence and under the watchful eyes of his shepherd, Yahweh. And this morning, I'm sure once again, as we feed on the green pastures of this most precious psalm and the truths it has to reveal to us, I know we'll all be nourished once again and led only to a place any one of us can find rest, and that is being a sheep in the flock of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, our shepherd. You do not have to turn many pages into your Bible before you come across the first reference in the Scriptures to the occupation of the shepherd. From Genesis 4 we hear Abel, a keeper of sheep, through to, you know, Job, if you believe that, you know, Job was one of the earliest first ever written books, and his 14,000 sheep, through to Abraham, Jacob, Rachel, Moses, David, and through on to Amos, and then through on to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who in John 10, which I'll reference a bit today, it parallels this psalm so well. It will, as the Good Shepherd, I believe the fulfillment of this psalm, to all the way to Revelation. For where it says in Revelation 7:17, at the Lord's second coming, for the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. He will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away their tears. That is the rest we are heading towards. That's the rest that Rob was speaking about next week. We're going to be living in the constant presence of our shepherd. So just as we've been learning over the past few weeks that our Heavenly Father has always been a God of rest from all eternity and will continue to be, I believe through the imagery that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, we see here in this psalm, and in which we ultimately see fulfilled in Christ Jesus as the Good Shepherd, as an invitation to all of us to come, live in the rest of this promise and what it was designed to give us now, in this side of eternity, and into the next. If we're truly going to find rest in this psalm, we have to understand these two truths. It conveys these two. As already forementioned, and we've heard this morning throughout our songs, the Lord is our all-satisfying, all-sufficient, soul-restoring guide for life. He is our shepherd. And now and for eternity. And secondly, we ourselves need to liken ourselves to sheep who are completely dependent upon God, our shepherd, for everything, period. He is the supplier of all to us. To have and understand the symbolism of our almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God as shepherd and us as his holy people set apart to walk holy and blameless before him as the shepherd's sheep is the foundation of this passage. As David well knew, one of the most important tasks of a shepherd was to search out and find green pastures, lush, fertile, for his flock to graze upon, so they remained physically healthy and were always in good health to fulfill whatever purpose the family required of the sheep. Sheep in ancient times were the livelihoods of many families in Israel. They were used for food, clothing, and very often used in sacrificial rituals and as a symbolism of atonement for and purification. So sheep had a value, a lot of value, hence the required need for a caring and watchful shepherd to be always present in the midst, leading, guiding, and protecting them as they journeyed around the countryside. Sorry, my notes are a bit... What is most important... Yeah, verse 2. Sorry, my notes are a bit messy. Write them down. Verse 2. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Oh, how good is our shepherd, our God. He leads us to much more than just pastures of that will physically nourish us. We know from verse 1, we shall not want and anything we need under the care and guidance of our shepherd. But rather, more than this, he wants to give us all spiritual nourishment in his word of truth. These are the green pastures. These are the precious words that Hudson read out and the words that we declare here every Sunday morning. And we read, hopefully, every day and get our nourishment. Jesus said, when the devil tempted him in the wilderness in regards to food, man shall not live off bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is where our shepherd wants to lead us, wants us to lie down and take rest in. Unlike an earthly shepherd who can only care for the physical needs of his sheep, our shepherd's desire is to care for and nourish and give rest to our whole person, spirit, soul, and body. The second half of verse 2, he leads me beside still waters, or the waters of rest, as it says in Hebrew. In terms of shepherding in the Middle East, it is essential that near to where the shepherd is grazing his sheep in the pastures, there is always calm and still waters for the flock to go and to quench their thirst, especially if they've had a long journey to these pastures. The waters need to be still and not fast flowing like a river, because otherwise the sheep are so vulnerable, just as we are, to be pulled into the flow and the streams and ultimately drown. As we've heard over the past month, we've been looking at rest from a biblical perspective and what the Word of God says. I've realized that the more that this culture we live in, the more that this culture we live in, that is always telling us the true life and rest comes in doing things and activity. Sorry, these notes are just busy. And how easy it is for us sheep who to get caught up and dragged into the busyness of our day-to-day life and into the raging and tumultuous torrents and the busyness of the activity of our day. Personally, I cannot express to you enough the dangers of the frantic society we live in and how it is at odds with the true lasting rest. In my own life over the past year, I found myself in the exact busy waters of life. Unknowingly to me, I was dragged in, feeling I needed to be always doing things, task after task at home, work as much as possible to earn money, and saying yes to things I did not even want to do because I could not say no, which my beautiful wife so kindly and graciously brought to my attention. But the worst thing about it was that even in the midst of my time with communion with God, my time with the shepherd, I was finding that I was rushed and I could not find rest in that secret place. And I believe that is one of the great dangers of our day of being a sheep in the flock, is being dragged into this busyness, and that we cannot find rest and peace in our mind. But as I turn my eyes towards Jesus to learn from him and his life, for me, if ever I'm not understand anything that's going on in life, Jesus is my dictionary, and I'll turn to him, and he always will give me the right answer. And so in this instance, that's what I did. I turned to him. I turned my eyes to Jesus and learned from him was that actually life, he showed me, is actually not going to get any less busy. It's only going to get busier. The more responsibility that each one of us get, the more busier our life will be. And Jesus' life is a prime example of that, while he was living in flesh here on earth. But he knew where his strength lay, and that was in the soul-nourishing pastures of God's word, and besides the thirst-quenching still waters of the Spirit of God. He said to the woman in John 4:10, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. This is our shepherd's heart. He wants to give us, his flock, the absolute best of all he has. He leads us and makes us lie down here because he knows his sheep and what they need most. And then verse 3, he leads on. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is why he leads us first to the green pastures and beside the still waters, because us sheep are all in need of a restoration and sanctification. To restore the soul means to revive the soul, and he wants to revive our soul and our personality. All the sheep in the Lord's flock are works in progress. Not one of us is the complete ideal sheep. Apart from our Lord's abiding steadfast love, we would be all sheep who have gone astray, each one of us turning to their own way, being guided by our own carnal desires, and led to all kinds of dark and troubled paths. But praise be to God, our shepherd is the good shepherd, the one that said, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. It is in this selfless act of our shepherd that any one of us can be led to the paths of righteousness and remain on this path. It is our shepherd's imputed righteousness to us that ensures that we are on our way to eternal rest. And this the shepherd humbly invites us to, obeying him as we trust in his faithfulness to be everything to us and more. As the words of the great hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness," say, all that I have ever needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness unto me. And this is our shepherd, and this is what he does for us. Now at this point, this most beloved psalm of David, we come to probably the most popular verse of this whole psalm. We probably all may have heard this in movies, and for me, as a 90s child, it was a Gangsta Paradise Coolio song. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't know whether he really got the meaning of it, but anyway, good thing we have God's word to guide us and tell us the real meaning. And so verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Again, David here is talking about another requirement of the shepherd's job description. You see, as I was studying and preparing for today, I read that once a shepherd's flock had eaten and grazed on a particular mountain side, the flock had eaten the grass all the way to the ground. It needed to be led and moved on to another green pastures. And it's through these pastures, on this journey, they would often be led through barren wildernesses, dark ravines, and where dangers from heights, wild animals, thieves, and exhaustion were all a constant threat and of death for the sheep. Symbolic of David's life as shepherd and king, he knew and was acquainted with this valley more than most. But we all here in this room know this valley well, even if it has been just for a season or two, because we live here on this earth. The constant threat of harm and death is as common to our lives as it was to his. But the good news is, like David, who found comfort in the rod and staff of his Lord, the shepherd, we can find comfort, peace, and rest in the promise of our blessed Lord and Saviour, the one who is the exact imprint and nature of God, as it says in Hebrews 1, who says, who feeds his flock with these type of soul-satisfying words from John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. They are one. No matter what valley we're going through, and any of us who have walked with Christ for any measure of time know that no matter the darkness that descends, no matter the enemies that are to the side of us, that we are always kept safely and guided in paths of righteousness in the hand of our good shepherd. And that is just a certain promise that I pray that we all cling to. It doesn't matter what this world is. We're all kept in the palm of our Father's hands. He knows each and every one of us, and we are valuable. And he shows this by overcoming the valley of the shadow of death, by laying his life down for us, as any good shepherd would do. He's not a hireling, as it says in John 10. He is our shepherd, and he lays his life down for his sheep. And that there is the defeat of death. And so, valley of the shadow of death, where is your sting? Now we're on to verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now we are right at the heart of the meaning of rest in this psalm for me. Again, here in this verse 5, the rest and the peace that our shepherd is inviting us to is wonderful. He not only prepares us a table for us to recline at and share a meal with him, But he does it all the while we are in the presence of our enemies. He doesn't take the enemies away. The enemies are still there, watching on as we enjoy the presence of our shepherd and feast with him. This once again shows us, just like in the valley of shadow of death, that as long as we are dwelling in the presence of our Lord and shepherd, we shall fear no evil, for he is with me. But our shepherd's love for us goes even further. He anoints our heads with oil. Here, by doing so, the good shepherd is preparing and empowering us to be a blessing to others by anointing us with the power of his Holy Spirit. He does not feed us, satisfy us, quench our thirst, revive our souls, and lead us onto paths of righteousness for just our own benefit. It is our shepherd's heart to bless others, through his sheep. By how he cares for his flock. So, this anointing oil. Sorry, V, my notes are. Need to improve these next time, if there's a next time. The anointing oil. Yeah, to bless the lives of others by how he cares for us. He wants. So, the point I'm trying to make is he wants to bless others. Other people in our lives where we come across who, through what he's done for us, he wants to show his love, his care through us, his sheep. And he wants us to show that to the other people in our life who none of us know here. We all know people, as I'm going to say here, you know, goats, people who are pasturing in other areas of our lives. We all know people that people here don't know. And so we all need to be living lives anointed with this anointing oil of the Holy Spirit if we are going to do what the Lord wants us to do, bring these goats and these sheep into his fold. And this is our shepherd's heart. It is our shepherd's desire that they too become sheep, part of his holy flock, by seeing the never wanting, always satisfied, joy-filled lives of the good shepherd's flock, always at rest in the tender love and care and protection of their shepherd, no matter the seasons of life. The good shepherd again says in John 10:16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock. As you can see from this verse, it is the shepherd's desire that all may come into the rest amongst his flock. And any one of us who have been a part of the Lord's flock for any amount of time can definitely testify with David here in verse 6 that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as the only place any one of us can find rest. And this morning, if you find yourself in a place of unrest in this life, as I said earlier, turn your eyes to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the one who lived a life in a state of constant peace and rest, just like he did in Mark 4 when he was in the midst of a storm. He was tired and weary before that. He was tired and weary. He had been talking to probably thousands, and he just wanted to get in the boat and have some rest. But the peace and the rest that he so had, that in the midst of a storm with experienced fishermen who knew the seas well, who were scared, frightened for their lives, saying, we're going to perish. Where is our Lord and Savior? Where is our good shepherd? He's at rest, peace in the back of the boat, asleep, not concerned of the storms around him. While everyone else was worried, frightened, and fearful, our good shepherd is living this. He's not fearing the death. He's not fearing the storm. But when asked to get up, how does he calm it? He says, peace. And there was peace. The waters and the winds were still. And this is the rest, I believe, he's inviting us all to now in our lives, this side of eternity, and through on to when we are at rest with him in heaven. But there may be some here that know nothing of the Good Shepherd's rest that I've been talking about or trying to talk about through my poorly written notes. But if you are unsure, if you are a sheep in the shepherd's flock, the remedy is the same for you as I mentioned above. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Give ear to his voice. You are hearing. He says once again in that John 10, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. This is true rest. Being in the Good Shepherd's flock and dwelling in the house of the Lord, our God, our Shepherd, forevermore. And so, as I said, I don't know what state of unrest any of us are here or whether we know of this rest. But I say, you know, that today is the day of salvation. And don't delay entering this rest. So, thank you all for listening. Father, Lord, I just pray, Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, for, Lord, this word. I thank you, Lord, that you are our ever-strong, guiding shepherd, almighty, all-powerful, as you said. Lord, King, and Lord of creation, as we just sung. Father, Lord, give us a great vision of you, Lord God. Great vision, Lord God, from this passage, and you as our shepherd, Lord God. If we have a vision of a big God, we have big faith. And with big faith, Lord God, big things can be done for your glory. And I pray and ask, Lord God, that for this year, that this church, Kings Park Community Church, Lord God, you increase our faith, increase our vision of you, Lord God, and do big things for your kingdom this year. In Jesus' name. So I guess I have to say goodbye to the people who are watching online. We're about to take communion, but I encourage you also to take up any bread, any juice, wine, whatever it is, and partake of communion with us as well. Just because you are not present here in person doesn't mean you're not present in spirit. So please, I encourage you to take communion. So I hope you enjoyed the service, and goodbye. And for the rest of us, we're just going to enter a time of worship, and then we'll take communion.